We are working our way through Matthew, chapters 5, 6, and 7. It's Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, so if you want to grab the Pew Bible and find the book of Matthew, and that's where we're going to be this morning, and a whole lot of other scriptures, so if you might want to write down a couple of references that I mention. Before we start, I want to pray. Father, I thank you that you have given us the handbook to life, that in it we find life, in it we find strength, in it we find power, in it we find you. God, I pray that you would reveal yourself to us this morning through ancient words that were penned thousands of years ago that bring about change. Use this time effectively for recreating us into those you would have us be. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So like that hymn, sometimes God's word is not familiar. And at the other extreme, sometimes God's word is so familiar, we just glitz over it. I am very acquainted with Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Not just because I've been studying for hours for the last, all summer, but because it's been preached on throughout my life. Because I have wandered through the book of Matthew more than once in my life. And as I studied this portion of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, verse 33 just held my attention. Like no matter what I did throughout the day, that's what I mused on. A Bible term would be, that's what I meditated on. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you as well. In many Bibles, these words in Matthew chapter 6 are printed in red. That means Jesus is speaking, and it's really a good idea to pay attention when we know Jesus is speaking, because he offers so much wisdom to live by. How many Christians have heard this verse but have no idea of its meaning? What does seek first his kingdom and his righteousness mean? And how do we do it? This is what I wrestle with all week long. And when you think I'm not doing nothing, that's what I wrestle with. I'm sure you would agree that phrase sounds easy enough to do. Just seek his kingdom and his righteousness. It's not that hard, right? To get a better understanding of Jesus' intended meaning, we need to look at this verse in context. And I'm glad you have your Bibles open. We're going to be reading at verse 25 to the end. Jesus says, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds. The birds of the air, they do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Great counsel, thank you, Jesus. Live today and live it to the fullest. Jesus frequently warned his disciples about worldly concern. thunderstorms, flooded basements, paying bills, health. All these things attack us every day. And here in verse 33, we're told how to combat them. How? Seeking God first and His righteousness. This book, this one right here, that I hope many of you have, it's called a Bible. It instructs us to seek first the kingdom of God instead of worrying about what we'll eat or what we'll wear and how we look. These things are of temporary concern. Our Heavenly Father, who is far more trustworthy than anything this world has to offer, encourages us to keep an eternal perspective as we make our way through the uncertainties of each day. Who are you following today? Who are you going to follow tomorrow? Because I really like my barber. My hairdresser, go-to person. Choose you this day in whom you will serve. Three times Jesus emphatically says, do not worry. And when the Bible repeats, what do? We pay attention. He says, do not worry about your life. Do not worry about your clothing. Do not worry about tomorrow. Because He's got it. You and I are instructed to refuse worry and anxiety. I'll have nothing to do with it because I know the guy, Jesus, God. Easier said than done, yes? I remember my personal experience. When I was in the hospital, the last thing I wanted to hear is somebody quote scripture to me. I was worried and had anxiety, and the only thing I was focused on was getting out of the hospital. So it's a real emotion. Psalm 55:22 tells us to cast your cares on the Lord and He will sustain you. You want to write down Psalm 55. It's a great read. He will never let the righteous be shaken. It's not my righteousness. It's His righteousness. In Matthew 11:28-30, Jesus says, come to me. Who? All of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Why? Because my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This is good counsel, and it's free for the taking when you crack the pages of the book. Philippians 4:6-7 reminds us, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, good, bad, or indifferent, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Do you know that our mind is a really vicious thing? I'm sure a lot of you have wandered away. There are distractions. And so valuable information passes us by. Who do you suppose does that? If we can be distracted, if we can be overwhelmed, if we can worry and stress and fret, who wins? Negative is not of God. The Lord says in Isaiah 41:10, do not fear. Why? For I am with you. He goes on, he says, do not be dismayed. Why? For I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Where does our strength come from? Or if you're operating in your own power and strength, good luck with that. How's it going for you? But when you seek God's counsel or godly counsel, you're going to prevail. In Joshua 1:9, the Lord tells Joshua, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Why? For the Lord, your God, will be with you wherever you go." These are promises from God penned for us to know and to put into practice and to stand on and to believe and, most importantly, to share. So what does it mean to seek God's kingdom and righteousness? Seeking God's kingdom is to look in every nook and cranny of any given situation we find ourselves in until we find Him. What you need to know and understand is that God stands at the ready to make Himself available for you to find Him. But we must look, we must seek, we must search, and when we do, we find. Even on days when things are going every which way but right, God is there. I often wonder if in those days, are we focusing on ways to worship God? Are we searching for ways to praise Him? And I know this makes no sense, but thank you, God, for this. Whatever. Or do we give in to the temptation of fear and worry? To seek God's kingdom means we have made a conscious decision to turn our focus toward God and kick fear, anxiety, and worry to the curb and trust His faithfulness. Do you really think God is saying, "I'm going to make these people crash and burn"? No. He wants us to prosper, not harm us, to give us a hope and a future when we call on His name. There's more than one way to seek first God's kingdom found throughout the Bible. For instance, prayer. How many pray? Yeah, I want a show of hands. How many pray? How many pray first? Not as a last resort. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 challenges us to pray continually. Jesus spoke to His Father often, which is our Heavenly Father too, right? So let's follow His example. The Bible makes it clear Jesus prayed with many people, but He also took time to be alone with His Father. We see this intimate connection and communion between the two of them in Matthew chapter 26. Verses 39, 42, and 44, when the most difficult time in Jesus' life was just about to unfold, what does He do? He prays. And how does He pray? "Father, please take this cup from me, yet not my will, yours be done." That opportunity for intimacy through prayer exists for us too. You can pray with your eyes open while you're driving. You can pray anywhere you want. That opportunity is always available to us. Don't leave it on a table another day. So what does it mean to seek God's righteousness and His kingdom? How about reading your Bible? Oh, come on, James, that's all you ever say. Yeah, because it works. It's easy enough to rely on a pastor or some other spiritual communicator on the TV, the internet, or whatever else, the radio. No doubt many of these people have valuable, beneficial insight. But God wants to meet with us personally. He often does this through reading His Word. Why is it so many people rely solely on one man's preaching? Dr. David Jeremiah. Oh, come on, I know I like Chip Ingram. He's the man. These are great communicators, but have you ever listened to God? Talk about a powerful message. Why do we leave this personal ability to communicate with a God of the universe that we have access to right at our fingertips, and yet we never talk? We talk to God when we pray. We listen to God when we read His Word. Everybody knows that. If you're 5 years old and in church, you're taught that. 5-day Bible club, VBS. Why do we invest in our children in such a crazy way? Right at our fingertips, and we leave God's Word on the table. To coin a phrase from Jesus, I love this. Do not let the valuable information that it holds pass you by. Distraction. Do you remember those verses I was quoting to you? Did you write them down? Yeah, I forgot them too, but at least they're written down. I forgot them too, but I can go to the recording and hear them again. Both of those are actions. We need to seek to find. We need to invest. Write something down. Well, why do we come to church? Because it's what I do. I come to church because it's my job. And because I love talking about Jesus. What a great vocation. Talk about Jesus, eat good food, tell others. Don't let the information this book holds pass you by. You want some good information? Here you go. Write it down. Young ones, because this is directed right from God here. It says in Psalm 119, verse 9, how can a young person, do I have your attention? How can an old person, how can anyone stay on the path of purity? I don't know. How, Mason, how can you stay on the path of purity? That's why God's Word is so important. Psalm 119:9 says, by living according to your Word. So let's listen to that version without me interrupting it. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your Word. That's God's instruction to the planet. God gave His Word to us so that we can keep our way pure. In the same psalm, at Psalm 119:105, I know it's all familiar to you. Don't let it pass you by. His Word is a lamp for our feet, a light for our path. How many are walking in darkness? Jesus is the light. Follow Him. When we read and understand the Bible and what it says and take to heart the promises that are from God found in it, we're strengthened to stand firm against sin, against temptation, against this world. Why? Because we have spent time with God through reading His Word. The natural byproduct, which I hope we all have, is a stronger, intimate, personal relationship with Him that is ever growing stronger. If you've attended here for more than a year, you know, if there's more, Jesus, show me. I want to know more. So what does it mean to seek God's kingdom and righteousness? Did you ever consider worship? I do that every week. 20 minutes. Easy. Got the drums and the smoke. I lift my hands. Worship. Is that worship? There's so much more to worship. Have you ever worshiped in your own home? In your car? While you're tending your gardens? Or is it something reserved to be expressed amongst pews one day a week for 8 to 16 minutes? Worship is a time of intimacy with the God of the universe. And we can do that anywhere. And we sing about sparrows. Did you hear his eyes on the sparrow? A sparrow isn't wandering around going, God, you're so cool. He can't. We worship. We have the capacity to worship Him, to praise Him, to honor Him, to obey Him, disobey Him, love and respect Him, talk about Him or not. Birds just look for their next meal. Do you really think splashing in the pond, they're going, God, thank you for this body of water? Do you worship when the breeze blows? You're there sweating to the core, and do you say, thank you, Jesus, for the breeze? That's worship. The simple act of worship ushers us into His presence. And when we recognize God and honor Him for who He is, that's worship. If you find yourself at a loss for accolades to offer to God, try reading a psalm or two. They're in the book. Maybe three. Here's a few full of worship to offer up to God, your God in heaven. And I'm specific there because there are other gods. I'm talking about the God in heaven who wants to take up residence in your life, in your heart, in your living. Psalm 145 is specifically designated as a psalm of praise. It's a testimony proclaiming God's kindness, His righteousness, His faithfulness, His majesty, His glory, His love. Read Psalm 145 and all its 21 verses hold. And I'm hoping that after reading them, you can't help but turn the page to Psalm 146. Which should inspire you to praise and honor God, who is so much worthy of our praise. When we're in the thick of it and this world is throwing everything it can at us, Psalm 40 begins with a proclamation of faith and trust. It's a great read. We should read Psalm 40 once a day, 5-7 times a week. And what happens is it gets into us. And we start living it and proclaiming it. It begins verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. How many times do we wonder if God's even there? If He really hears our cries for help. Psalm 40 reminds us He is there. And He does hear. There are many expressions of praise to be found in the Psalms. These are just a few of the treasures to be sought after. Are you searching the Scripture? Do you ask God to speak to you before you read? Or do you tick the box? It's 8:10, I read until 20 after, and then I go about my day. When life is tough, let God's Word redirect your focus from concern to joy. You'll have unending joy when you're overwhelmed. Look up. God, what do you want me to learn through? What do you want me to turn from? He'll tell you. You know, there is some merit to just flipping the Bible open and reading whatever it is. But sometimes it's better to just go and read a book. Read the book of James, just a couple chapters. Read the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Some are only like a quarter page. It's like, woohoo, I read a book. Invest your time to committing God's Word to memory. It's invaluable. It's priceless. What does it mean to seek God's kingdom and His righteousness? It begins with redirecting our focus in life. Have you ever seen billboards on the side of the road, or signs painted on the side of barns that says, "Repent! The kingdom of heaven is near." Boy, you drive south, it's on every hillside. You can't help but see crosses and billboards that say, "Jesus saves." Repent, turn. Why? Because the kingdom of heaven is near. It's coming. It could be this year. Could be today. I'm good with that. Are you? Because if you live in Michigan, you could be going to hell. It's a literal place in Michigan. I just learned that today. I mean, if you just came here for that, that's perfect. But the truth is, there is a heaven and there is a hell. They're two very real places. And as human beings, we're going to live for eternity. Where is completely up to you. I know that Jesus is calling you. And I know that Satan is distracting you only because he distracts me. And because I hear God calling me, and I have chosen to respond, and I absolutely say thank you, Jesus, for calling me by name. We need to redirect our focus in life. There are people in the world that seem to think that this message is important, to invest the money to hire a painter or an artist to pen that on the side of a barn. That's an investment of time and money. There are people in sports arenas across the world. Have you ever seen a sports game or something and the camera pans through the audience and there's some guy going with John 3:16 or something? Have you seen? Don't let that valuable information pass you by. It's like, oh, no, they're one of those Bible thumpers. No, that's God's Word. Changes lives for eternity. And somebody has the courage to say, "Jesus, save." These messages that tend to pass us by relate to turning from a lifestyle of sin that leads to death and trading it for salvation in Christ that leads to eternity in heaven. And listen, and having a righteousness that is from God. Because if you think you're right enough, you're not. You'll never be right enough until you do finally breathe that last breath. That little card out there. Read the three questions. Is there really life after death? Is there a God? Do I need a Savior? Yes to the first. Yes to the second. Yes to the third. The truth is, all of us sin. The good news is God still loves us. While we were still sinners. He desires that all come to Him. Think of that most wayward, ugliest person on the planet. And God loves him. Really? Really? But they can't be. Yeah, they can. God can do a work. And He will. He wants us to come to Him. Whether it's for a first-time initial repentance leading to salvation or a day-to-day heart check, it's always in our best interest to seek first God's kingdom. How? By trusting in the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Turning from our sin, as God prompts us to, is a must. It's not how we get saved. It's how we show that we love God. I don't want to be the way I am. God, do a work in me. Make me new. This is my desire, Lord. That's what we sang last week. What does it mean to seek God's kingdom and righteousness? Can I suggest not just reading your Bible, but memorizing it? One way to combat the temptation to worry or become anxious is to know God's Word. Because there's coming a day when this book may not be here. And if the only word you have is Jesus wept, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's a good verse. How about, no temptation has seized me except that which is common to man. And with every temptation, God has provided an escape. Do you know the escape? Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. Fortunately, we have references. Fortunately, we have freedom to the book. But what if we don't? The only Bible you have is what you have. What you have. The Bible helps us understand what is right and true and pleasing in God's sight. Unfortunately, my nature is to please myself. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I'm hot. It feels good. I want it now. Where's Jesus? This is my desire, Lord. It's all about you. Psalm 119:11, the writer says that he hid the word of God in his heart. In other words, he memorized it. He understood it. He meditated on it. Why? Why? So he would not sin against God. Do you care that your sin doesn't hurt anyone?
I'm not hurting anyone when I sin.
You're hurting yourself, and you're most definitely hurting God. And that's why Satan prompts us to sin. Because he wants to hurt God. He doesn't give a rat's patootie about you. He wants to attack God. The Bible is the first offensive weapon listed in the spiritual weapons arsenal we have in Ephesians 6. Everybody knows Ephesians 6, right? The helmet of salvation, the breastplate, and the feet shod in, right? But are we getting dressed every morning when the attacks are great? Or are we going off unclothed? Everybody puts their pants on in the morning. Why don't we put our armor on? When we hide God's word in our heart, we are prepared for combat at a moment's notice. And we can redirect temptation with God's truth, with God's strength, with His righteousness. I'm not in there anywhere. It's all Him. He's my strength. He's my power. He's my comfort. He's my deliverer. He's my provider. He's my God. When we purpose to seek key verses from the Bible and memorize them, we armor up. It enables us to prevail in whatever this world throws our way. We're more than conquerors through Him who strengthens us. I don't know where that reference is, but it's in there. I probably did a James paraphrase, but we're not going to make it on our own. In essence, Jesus says, hey, you want everything you need for this day? Do you want everything you need for this day? Here's the secret. Seek my kingdom and my righteousness. And if you continue that verse, it says, and all these things, the world you think you need will be added unto you. When our desire is in line with His will, that's a secret. When our desire is in line with His will, we don't need to worry. Because He's got it. His ways are right, true, pleasing. And oh, there's so many scriptures running through my head. And I don't know them all. Thank you. Romans 8:37, another one to write down. Please be good. Look. I'm not preaching to you. I preach to myself first. I don't know Rome. Well, I probably do. I just don't know the reference in the verse. But when I read it, I'll go, yeah, that's a good one. I don't know it all, but I know the one who does. And he has a plan and a purpose for our lives. And it's not to be miserable walking around. It's to be living life to the fullest. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you invested time to preach this sermon thousands of years ago to people on a hillside, and that the message remains the same. That in you we have life. That you have set out a plan and a purpose that's really easy to follow. God, I pray that you would give us new eyes, a new heart, a new mind, a new will to seek to follow you in all the things we do, say, and think. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.